Yo, what up, y'all? Today, we talking, what do you do if your friends or your family doesn't like the person that you're with? We have a couple of call-ins, including my mom, where she talks about my ex-girlfriends, who she liked, who she didn't, why. Man, this conversation got funny real quick. We also talked to another young lady that calls in and lets us know what happened in her situation. It's going to be an amazing time. Look, if you're going through a place where your friends, your family don't like the person that you're with, I'm gonna need you to tune in because you may get some answers to what you need to do next. We know you're gonna enjoy it. Here is Nights at the Round Table. And welcome to another episode of Nights at the Round Table. Tis your boy, Man Weezy. To the left is the Queen Angela Johnson. To the right is Be Real.
Be Smith.
And we back at the freaking studio this time.
Yay!
We were doing a couple of them, like, all out. And we was in Nashville. B was here in La La Land.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to do the virtual.
Yep, but we're back together.
Together again.
The band is back together, you guys.
Hey, and this time we're shooting at 9 in the morning, so we're doing coffees.
No wine, because we're not drunkards.
Yeah. I went with a matcha latte with coconut milk.
Yeah, I went with a vanilla, I think it's vanilla sweet cream cold brew with 2 espresso shots.
And
I
am. He's on crack.
I am back on my, well, not back. I just keep doing the same thing, which is my BCAAs with some water.
Yeah, Manny does not drink coffee or tea. Water, and if he ventures out, BCAAs.
Both taste like feet water.
Oh my gosh.
It's just leftover feet water.
Oh my gosh.
Anyways, what are we going to do today is we're going to talk about this book that B is reading.
Yeah.
In our little section that we like to call
What You Reading? What You Reading?
Tell us.
Every time it makes me laugh.
I am reading a, you know, it's funny. The thing about books is, like, you'll read it during one time in your life, and then all of a sudden you come back to that book some years later, and then the book is that much better. Nothing changed. Mm. It's just you change and your perspective change.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So I remember years ago, William Matthews, who was like a brother to me, brother to us, he was like, hey, there's this guy, Richard Rohr. He's going to blow your mind. You should start reading his stuff. So at that time, I was going through a lot. My parents were divorcing. I was suffering a major head injury that I had, all sorts of stuff. So anyways, he had this book, and this book is called Falling Upwards, and it's a spirituality for the two halves of life. And he's talking about essentially kind of like losing, suffering, all these things are necessary in your spiritual journey. And in chapter 6, he has this little line, and I just wanted to read this. There's so much I could read from this, but he says, in the end, we do not so much reclaim what we have lost as discover a significantly new self in and through the process. Until we are led to the limits of our present game plan and find out to be insufficient, we will not search out or find the real source, the deep well, or the consistently flowing stream. Alcoholics Anonymous call it the higher power, and Jesus calls this ultimate source the living water. So there must be, and if we're honest, there will always be at least one situation in our lives that we cannot fix, control, explain, change, or even understand.
Mm.
And to me, that gives like so much context and language to when you're going through those situations where life just deals you a very shitty hand. In a season, in a moment, things drastically change. You lose a loved one, you suffer an injury, all these sorts of things. And it's until you get to that place where you can actually go deeper, right? Most of people's lives are lived on a superficial level.
Mm-hmm.
It's very vain, right? It's like, hey, how do I look? How do I look towards that person? And then when you experience these moments, like what he's saying, where you cannot fix, control, explain, change, or even understand, all of a sudden now you're having to pull on a deeper source. And Jesus would call this the living water, right? We see that at the woman at the well. Jesus says, hey, you drink of me, you'll never thirst again. He was trying to get her past just her physical desire for water into something that is like rooted deep within us. And that's the beautiful gift of pain or suffering, is that it taps us into a deeper place in us where we find God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's so necessary. That's why Jesus says, hey, you can only enter into the kingdom through tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
He's not saying, hey, life is going to be shitty for you. He's just saying you're going to go through some shitty stuff because it has to get you past the point of you into a deeper place in me, which is in you, right? The deepest part of each of us is God.
Right.
And so, yeah, this book has been like totally rocking my mind.
Just let's go for rereading books in different stages of life. I need to go back and reread some stuff too.
I was just thinking, I was like, oh, what book should I go back and read? Because I'll be honest, I don't read a lot of books. We're like, Brandon, I feel like you're reading a new book every week. And I'm like, how you do that? I was like, what book would I go back and read? The Purpose Driven Life.
I'm going to go back to the Left Behind series.
I really enjoyed it, The Purpose Driven Life.
No, that book was bomb.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason why it was like a world bestseller. Yeah. That book was.
That's why I'm like, maybe I will go back to it.
That's Warren, right? Rick Warren?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yo, so if you're with us today and you see the title, if you're following us on the YouTubers, if you're not, please go check out our channel on YouTube. It's in the link in our bio everywhere on all the socials. And you can follow us there so you can see our faces and all the hilarity that we are. It would be amazing. Subscribe and click the little bell, man. Click the little bell. That lets you know when we're posting a video so that you don't miss anything. And shout out to all our Patreon followers as they're growing every day. We appreciate you guys so much. It's been absolutely amazing getting to share time with you guys. But we're going to be talking about what do you do when your family or your friends ain't feeling the new person that you with? Do you go against them or do you heed and bail?
Oof.
We got lucky because there's a I put out a little thing on the gram and people who wanted to call in or we can share their story. So we're going to call somebody in about 10 minutes who had that happen to her. And I think it's going to be awesome. She's going to tell you her story. But until then, what would you do? Has it ever happened to you?
Yeah. Queen? So I feel like I can name a lot of times where I haven't liked a friend's boyfriend or somebody they're dating or even married to.
Really?
Yeah. But there sometimes that's just me. Like, I just don't enjoy this person. But there's been a couple times where it's like the majority is like, ooh, so-and-so's husband's going to be there. There's actually one person that I'm thinking of. It's funny. There's one person that I'm thinking of that all of us did not love her man. Like, he was just, I don't know, there was something about him where we were like, ugh, he just is so bothersome. And there was one person who liked him, Manny. Manny's the only one who liked him. Wait. I'm not saying them on air.
Really?
But I'll tell you later. But, and then I would always be like, really, babe? And then you're like, yeah, I think he's just misunderstood. And like, you know, you always be giving people the benefit of the doubt and stuff. But, off air, I'll tell you who, I'll remind you who it is.
I don't remember this
but,
at all.
Yeah, so there is that one person. But I remember I dated a guy and he tried to like make fun of my friends and be like, your friends are immature or whatever. And I was like, bleh, you please get out of here. You're not even the one. But yeah, I don't think I've ever been in the situation where I'm the one that people don't like. Oh, actually, there was this one time I dated a guy and I was immature and I did something immature and I left and then he never called me again and all of his friends were there that day. So I'm pretty sure they all got a good laugh at me after that. And they're all like, oh, yeah, she's whack. Probably. I'm imagining that's what happened, but I don't know for a fact. I don't think I've ever been. I'm usually the one that all the in-laws like.
Yeah, I can't imagine you being the person that people don't like.
Usually any guy that I've dated, their parents love me.
Which was rare because my parents loved you and they didn't like any. Well, they did. That's wrong. They liked Carrie. They liked Julie. But as far as liking them to the point of like, oh, yeah, I could see them being, you know, your full time.
Yeah.
My mom wasn't feeling it. Like, she didn't think it was going to be.
For the other girls.
Yeah.
For me, she loved me.
From day one.
And when I remember the first time I came to meet them in Florida, I had just been in Hawaii. I think I was doing a show or something. And I remember I bought your mom some earrings and I brought like little turtle gold earrings from Hawaii. Yeah. And I remember I came with like a gift and I brought her that from Hawaii. And yeah, I bought my way into the family.
Sealed the deal.
I bought my way in with some little gold turtle earrings.
Oh man. That's, I mean,
I've been on both sides of the coin actually. So, which is funny because my last relationship before Maddie, my sister absolutely hated her. Like, my sister would like just straight up just be like talking ish right in front of her.
Oh my God.
It was really bad at one point. Like I felt like my dad, cause my mom wasn't really in my life at that time. But my dad was in my life and I felt like he's such an optimistic guy. I think he just kind of liked her because he's like, hey, you're around. I'm gonna give you the benefit of the doubt.
Uh-huh.
I didn't really know his real opinion, but I absolutely understood my sister's opinion. So I remember at one point we came down to LA. My sister was here too. We're actually out to eat with Will. And again, anyone who knows Will knows he's an amazing friend and he tells it like it is, like straight up truth. Mm-hmm. So we're all at the Federal, North Hollywood Arts District.
Oh my gosh.
And we're sitting down and Brittany is just like literally talking to him. She's like, when are they going to break up? Like, I'm right next to her. And I'm
but she's not there.
No, my girlfriend wasn't there at the time.
Oh, thank God. I was like, whoa.
And William reaches across the table. He puts his hand on Brittany's hand and says, don't worry. He's like, they'll be probably broken up within the month or two. And I was just sitting there and I was like, man, this is going to be like really rough having to try and make this work. And we ended up breaking up a little bit later.
Within a month or two?
No, it wasn't. He didn't speak prophetically. It was just, he was guesstimating. And what's crazy too was her parents didn't like me at all either.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. Like her dad.
Did they have a reason?
Okay. If I'm being really honest, I felt like her dad, like low key just had some prejudice against me. Like it just always felt kind of weird. And there was no substantiated claim as to reason why, like he couldn't point to an example and say, you know what? He's not a scrupulous guy. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
like he's
right.
not scrupulous.
He's not an honest lad, you know? And so it just sucked because it felt on both sides. It was like, I was just the guy that was like kind of hated. And I chose to be in a relationship where my family didn't really like her.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny because one of the things was my sister couldn't really give me a real reason why she didn't like her. It was just a feeling.
Yeah.
And that always sucks. Like, especially because you're like, give me something. Like, if I'm missing something here, if I legitimately have a huge blind spot, please let me know what that is. But it was always like, I think you could do better. Truth was, I could do better. Yeah. But at that point in my life, I was like, you know, stuff happens. And so, yeah, it was interesting. And then after that, there was another little girl I was kind of talking to for a moment, and her parents didn't like me at all either. They felt like, it's funny because I don't really feel like I give off the vibe as some like opportunistic dude that's going to take advantage of a situation.
Right.
Like, I feel like I'm somewhat of I present like an honest, authentic, like, hey, what you see is what you get. But I think some parents are maybe too protective of their daughters and maybe don't trust their ability to make wise decisions. So maybe that wasn't a reflection of me. Maybe it's a reflection of the previous situation there.
As we saw in the documentary last night.
Yeah.
But I think also what you were saying, like what you see is what you get. Sometimes when you are that honest and forward and people aren't used to that, it can translate to them a type of way, like, oh, he's, I don't know, like conceited, or he's too, not demanding. That's not the word that like.
Was it like upfront? Like,
take control, like too controlling.
Okay, yeah.
Because you're just so honest and know what you want and what you don't want.
Yeah.
Like that can be interpreted to someone who doesn't have that.
Yeah.
As like, oh, he's controlling, he's too whatever, when really it's like just a strong empowered voice, you know, could have been that too.
And then it's always funny too because that's one thing that I've tried to do, especially with friends, because obviously we have among the years, like there's so many friends I got with girls that you're like, bro, you know already, like you're just out here trying to have fun or whatever. But whenever I would have problems with that, I tried to come with more than just a feel. Like, hey, I just feel like this is, to me, I hated that because I'm like, you got to give me something, because if you're going to be my eyes in this situation, you need to actually see something. and not just like you're just out here in the dark just trying to like feel for something.
It's not quantifiable.
I know.
Especially for men. Like, I don't do good with feels.
And so I remember there was a couple friends who I was like, hey, this girl's not going to be faithful to you. She was texting so-and-so. They've already met up, all these sorts of things. And so it's like, at that point, if you don't believe me, that's on you.
Yeah.
But I'm going to at least give you something, right? So like, again, that was always my pet peeve when I was in relationships is like, you just can't give me just like, I don't like it. I don't like her. I don't like him. Why? Give me the why. So then then we could actually move forward and progress with this. But anyways, shout out to Brittany just not liking her. You know?
Shout out to Britt.
All right. If you guys are seeing me, if you're watching on YouTube, you're seeing me type and look down. I'm not paying attention. I'm communicating with the person they were having on. Her name, she said I can use her name, but I'm gonna let her introduce herself. But we're gonna give her a call. She's gonna tell us what happened to her when her family did not like her man. Here we go. In the name of Jesus, she's gonna pick up.
Well, while we wait, today's weather is gonna be high of 73.
We're expecting rain here in Los Angeles.
A low of 68.
Hello?
Hello?
What's up?
Hi, is this Manuel?
This is totally Manuel.
And this is Angela.
And this is Brandon.
We are all here.
Hey guys, hey everybody.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
So good. Thanks for taking time.
What's your name?
Yeah, I wanted to make sure you're
whatever
okay.
name you want to use.
My name's Adriana. It's fine.
Okay, cool. Adriana, where do you live? Where are you calling us from?
I'm calling from Augusta, Georgia.
Augusta, Georgia.
She was kind enough to get on the phone on her lunch break. That's nice. How cool she is. Well, there was a couple other people that hit back and was like, "We're working." I'm like, "Damn it." People with normal jobs.
You're like, "Then why are you answering to my story then?"
Where do you work? Do you mind saying?
So I'm actually through a temp agency. So I am helping a, I don't even know how to word it right now. I'm like nervous. I'm helping a business go from paper to like e-files, I guess.
Yeah. What's great. One time I went and signed up at a temp. This is a sidebar total. Sidebar.
Yeah.
One time I went and signed up at a temp agency. What I thought was a temp agency, and when I got there, they had me fill out this application that was very much like a personality test type thing, and I'm like, this is weird, okay, and I'm filling it out, and I'm looking around at all the artwork on the wall, and it's all L. Ron Hubbard stuff, and it was like a Scientology thing. They was trying to trick me, get me in the call, and I was like, oh hell no, I'm out, and I left. I was like, I don't know what kind of temp agency this is, but I'm out. That's my sidebar.
You're like, yeah, no, bye.
Oh man, Adriana, so we chatted a little bit on Instagram, so we want to hear your story. We're obviously talking about the times where your friends or your family don't feel the person that you're with. What do you do? So tell us your story. You told me a little bit about 8 years ago you was dating this dude or with this dude and your family wasn't feeling him.
What
was
happened?
It family and friends?
So I'm going to try and like stick as much as I can to like what exactly I did in that situation, just because my mind, like I can try and tell you a story, but it's going to go 10 million different directions.
Sure. So, sure.
So basically, I was friends with this person before we even started a relationship, and even our friendship, I guess, was unhealthy. So looking back at it now, I'm just like, why did I even, you know, start a relationship? But basically what happened is my family could tell that he was no good for me. And just with mannerisms that he had and the way that he would talk to me and I was going through some like childhood stuff that I guess I never realized until I ended up actually going to therapy for it. And sorry, trying to stick to the task, but I let him think that it was, or I didn't let him think. I just basically thought myself that it was okay for him to treat me that way because I thought that's what love was. And my family knew that wasn't what love was, so they would try and talk to me about it. But I was just so blinded, and I basically thought, you know, I can change him, and this is what love is. They don't know what love is because, you know, they're older and da 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 da.
So when they would bring up these things to you, like the way he talks to you or blah, 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 whatever they would say to you, were you in denial of it or were you like, yeah, you're right, but I can fix it?
Kind of both. Definitely more so of the I can fix it because I guess I just thought that that's what love was, you know, basically down talking and having his actions be okay. I guess like I just felt like I wasn't worth more than what he was giving.
Would your family treat him a certain way, like when they would see him, or was it just, was it like sidebar to you, like, hey, we don't like him, we don't like the way he treats you, and then when he comes over, like, hey, how you doing, Steve, you know? And like, or were they like, no, you're not welcome here? Like, what was the dynamic?
So they would basically try to be kind because they knew how I felt about him. They knew that I loved him. And so they would try their hardest, you know what I mean, to make things okay. But they never really liked him.
Now, when they were pointing things out to you, were they like major red flags or was kind of yellow flags? And as your guys' relationship progressed, those yellow flags kind of became red flags, if that makes any sense.
That does make sense. They were definitely red flags if I look back at them now. But I would kind of try to downplay them just because, you know, I loved him so much.
Yeah. And were they kind of all pointing out the same thing, or was it like multiple different things that kind of friends and family were pointing out for you?
No, it was definitely same things, just because like I did talk to my family about, you know, the stuff that was happening, and it was, you know, on multiple occasions, it was, you know, I had trust issues, and I would end up, you know, finding text messages from other girls and everything like that. And so they would point that out, and, you know, each time I would just dismiss it, and it would continue to happen.
How long did the relationship last?
We were together for 4 years.
Dang! Oh, that's a lot of time with some flags, with your family not liking. Wow.
I have a question. Because you said you did therapy, ended up doing therapy now. So what, when you look back at it now, can you point to the one reason why it is that you stayed? Like, was it just the fear of, like, I don't think I'll be able to find anyone else?
Looking back at it, I really don't know. So just because, like, looking back at it, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I, like, you know, spent that much time with him. And I mean, I wasn't perfect in the relationship either, because since, you know, I was always on my guard and I had those trust issues, like, I would get angry. But then, of course, he belittled my feelings for, you know, whatever happened. But yeah, I have no idea why I stayed that long.
And now you're saying that, I'm looking at our messages, and you're saying now you find it hard to find someone, because right now you're currently single, right?
Right.
And you said it's hard to find a guy from church because they'd rather be, because they're rather super young or my age and married. So was the guy that you were with from church as well, or was he?
No, he was just a friend of a friend. I mean, he was Catholic, so he you know, practiced that. I'm Christian, and so they're just, you know, a little different. And he didn't go to church. I was going to church, but not as often as I do now.
Right. Do you think that finding a church dude is the answer?
I think it's definitely something that I'm wanting, just because there's certain morals that come along with people who do attend church.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, you can find, I mean, like I hear it all the time, like there's wolves in sheep's clothing. So, I mean, sometimes, you know, a church guy isn't who you think he is, but
word.
I think there's more of a chance of me finding, you know, a good guy or the guy that God has set for me at church than if, like, I were to meet him, I don't know, somewhere else.
Right. You said you were struggling with trust issues. Now, was the trust issues there before this last dude? Because I know you're saying that they're still there. Did you develop them because of this last relationship and the cheating and all that stuff? Or was it there before?
I think it was probably always there, just because, I mean, like, you have your high school relationships and everything that don't work out. So you have those a little bit. And then I met my ex when I was pretty young. I think I was 18 or 19 when we started dating. And I mean, jumping out of high school into another relationship, which is like my first adult relationship, which I'm like, oh my gosh, I was still a baby. But I think it kind of bloomed more after being with him, just because of how many times that trust was broken.
Right. I could see that happening. Now, do you feel like your parents and your friends, have you given them a little bit more power or sway? Like, are you now like, yo, for real, next time, like, if my parents or if my friends say anything, like, I'm going to listen?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'll definitely listen to them. I'm not going to let them control, like, you know, how my life goes from that point, but I'm definitely going to listen to them and, like, why they feel that way. And I mean, I think I said it in the messages too, like, what did I say in the messages?
about your closest friends, like one of them being friends with them still, and it's weird about that, or?
No, about them agreeing all the time. Like, I don't expect them to, like, you right. know, agree and everything, you know, be sunshine and rainbows and everything like that. But if they have, like, a deep concern, like, I'll listen to them and, you know, go from there.
I have a suggestion. sometimes it's not the deep concern that once it's a deep concern, there's already been flags. If your family or friend is going to come to you with a deep concern, they've been marinating on it for all the little flags that have led up to this. It becomes deep when it's the little things. So I would say pay attention to the little things that they say, like, did he really just talk to you like that? That's interesting. Like, those kind of, I would pay attention to those things, because once it's your friend comes to you and they have a deep issue they need to bring up,
yeah, stuff
it's
is already
late. It's already, we missed it already, you know? And we have a friend who actually Manny interviewed on a one-on-one, who she was engaged to a guy, and turns out he was like leading a whole double life and was like a different person. And she was like, man, he fooled my whole family. Like, he fooled everybody, like all my close friends. And she had people coming out after the fact, like after he left, that were saying like, I thought this was kind of weird that he did this or whatever, but didn't like speak up, because he would, you know, he knew how to schmooze and like be cool in their face, and like he would like say all the right things. But she would notice that sometimes it wasn't the mom, the dad, or the best friend. It was like the best friend's boyfriend, who was kind of a little removed, that would be the one to speak up more, because they didn't have any skin in the game. They didn't have a reason to offend her by saying, hey, your boyfriend's a little off. Like, they weren't going to be offending her, because we're not best friends. I'm like a friend of a friend. And so like, she noticed that friend of the friends would be the ones to be like, wow, he's kind of rude to you, you know? So I would say pay attention to the little comments that your best friends or even your friend's friend are saying.
Yeah, if there's an agreement between family and friends, then it's something I kind of feel like at that point, it's like, okay, there's an issue. There's like, you can't hide it. Because most of the time you could, like you said earlier, write off family because it's like, they're old or they just have something against me. I used to do the same thing. I'm like, right. My mom don't know jack about jack. Last time she dated, there wasn't even cell phones. I don't want to hear anything from her. But I tell you the truth, mom wasn't wrong not one time. She was never wrong. Yeah. She may have given it to me in a wrong way, said it annoyed, but she was not wrong. And there came a point where I would literally, that'd be the first thing I do when I was with somebody to know if this relationship is going to be real or not. I'd take her to meet my mom. And if my mom's like, nope, then I'd be like, all right, this is going to be a fun relationship that goes nowhere. It's just like, I just trusted her that much because she knows me more than anybody else. And I didn't think my mom wanted me to be unhappy. So it's not like she's telling me stuff because she wants me to be alone.
Right.
But man, right. Well, I'm curious and interested how your story plays out. Keep us posted because I do want to know if and when you start dating. And when you do, holler on the DMs. Like, you have any questions about red flags.
Yeah.
I love having conversations about relationships and dudes who are BSing you and just all that stuff. So just hit us up if there's anything that you're like, oh, this is a red flag, I don't know about this, and we'll shoot it to you straight.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for joining us. Have a good rest of your day. I know you're going back to work. Me. Of course. Of course.
Yeah. Yeah. That's okay, though. I like my job. So, you know, it's cool.
Right on.
If they give you a personality test and you see L. Ron Hubbard posters, run, girl. Run.
Yes. I am going to run. I will Angela Johnson it out.
That's right. Bye.
All right, Adriana, thank you so much. Bye, we'll talk soon. Bye.
I think we should call your mom.
Why?
And ask her, like, what were some of the things that she saw? Like, how would she know to...
Oh, I love that idea.
And, like, what would what would she say? Oh,
let's
this
see.
Is going to be
gonna
good.
She's going to pick up.
Mama.
Hopefully you guys can understand her accent.
Hi, Papa.
If she doesn't pick up, it'll be rare.
Hi, Papa.
Hi, Mama. ¿Cómo está?
¿Cómo
está,
mami?
Bien, ¿y usted?
Hola.
Hola, ¿cómo estamos, Angela?
Bien, we're recording you on a podcast.
You recording me?
Yeah.
Sí.
Brandon,
doing what?
Brandon's here too. None. We called to ask you a question.
Oh.
Mami, we're talking about relationships and how were there times where your family didn't agree or like the person that you were with? And so I was telling Angela and Brandon how you were never wrong on all the girls I would bring home. You would always be like, that's not it. She's not it. She's not it. And I always thought that you just didn't like anybody. But it turns out that you were right about everybody. So what was it that you saw? Like, I remember you liked Julie, you liked Carrie, you didn't dislike them, but I know you were like, I don't know if this, you know, this is the one for my son.
But I don't, which one that I didn't like? Sonia. I didn't like Sonia.
¿Por qué? ¿Por qué you didn't like her?
Because she thought that she was better than Jose, and she told me right on my face that she was better than him.
Oh, she did?
Whoa.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and then I told Jose, you know, I don't like her because I don't like the way she expressed herself about you. Hmm. And then you told her, you don't say that you're better than me. You told her, I am smart. I am very smart, and I told her, yes, he is very smart. He graduated with 4.0. So
I didn't know she said that to your face. I don't remember this.
Yeah, she was in the house.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I mean, I do remember that's why we broke up.
Yeah, Yeah, because I didn't like her comment. But anyway, I used to talk to her and everything, but I didn't like her for you.
Mommy, and, mamita,
huh?
How did you know that I was the one?
No, you know, I'm going to be very honest with you, Angela. When he called me and he told me that he found the woman of his life, I said, well, who is she? Where she come from? And Jose says, she's Mexican. I said, and I was so happy because I said, oh, wow, I got somebody that speaks Spanish.
Oh, no.
So, but when you came home, you know, the first time, I like you.
Even though I didn't speak Spanish?
You know? No. I was just thinking that you speak Spanish. And I said, oh, gosh, I got somebody that speaks Spanish because Nina never spoke Spanish. And Julie never speaks Spanish, so nobody speaks Spanish. So when he told me that you were Mexican, I said, oh, I'm so happy because she's Spanish.
And then, and then what'd you like about her, Mama?
About Angela?
Sí.
I mean, the way she treats me, the way she expresses herself about you and, you know, about everything.
Yeah.
That I always hug you and I hold your hand and I cuddle you.
And rub my back.
Yes. I love you.
I love you too.
I miss you. Yeah. We can't wait to see you.
Okay. Yeah. I hope that you guys can come on for Thanksgiving.
We're coming.
You coming?
Yeah. We're coming.
Okay.
But I love you. Thanks for answering.
Yeah.
Okay.
Love you too.
Okay, I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Okay. Bye, Mama.
Bye. My so mom's so cute.
And rub my back.
The way you express yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's key. She said that like a couple times.
Yeah. There's something definitely about it. Like I feel like so it's interesting because the Sonia situation, which me and Sonia are cool now, so it's not like anything to be upset about, but.
And y'all were young.
I mean, I was 23. That's not young.
That's pretty young.
Is it?
Yeah. I said some dumb things in my 20s.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting because it's like, you know, I still love Sonia. I think she's amazing. But that was the breaking point. I do not remember having that conversation. The fact that my mom remembers it, I know it happened
because
she
remembers everything.
She don't forget anything that bothered her. So
that's a gift.
If that actually happened, it's funny because I don't remember it because I only remember ending that situation when I found out that the whole time I was with her, she told her parents that we were just friends because she was ashamed. Aww. She was ashamed of her parents knowing that we were dating.
Why?
Because I was 3 years her senior, right? I was younger than her.
She was 3 years your
senior. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
So she would be your senior, right?
Yeah. So she was 3 years my senior, right? So 3 years older than me. And I was still graduating college. She already had her master's.
Oh, wow.
Her dad's a judge. Her mom's everybody in that family's smart. Mm-hmm. Sister's a lawyer. Other sister graduated with, mm-hmm. you know, honors. Everybody's smart. Everybody loves Jesus. Just a beautiful family. I still love them to this day. But when I asked her, why didn't you tell them that we were dating? She was just like, I didn't want them to be ashamed of who I was dating. And it struck me weird because I was like, wait, but I'm fucking dope. Like, are we talking about the same person? Because I know who I am within our community, within this world, and I'm dope. Like, why would you ever feel weird or ashamed to be with me? Like, I didn't understand it at all, but legit, that's how she felt. She didn't want her parents to know. I assumed that they wouldn't be happy about her dating me, maybe because I was young and unproven at that point, you know? But they never let me feel it. I think that's why I felt so dumb, because I would go over there all the time. I was there all the time. And the whole time they thought it was just this dude being friends. Like, they must have thought I was just some little dog that followed her around.
Aww.
Yeah, it was so embarrassing.
But also, What if they didn't think that at all and that was just her projections? Because she's like, I didn't want my parents to feel ashamed.
Totally could
have
happened.
That's her projecting. Mm.
I never had a conversation with them, so I wouldn't know, but it could have been. It could have been. I didn't stick around to find out.
Aww.
The second I find out something, like, I'm not one of those people that's gonna, I used to be one of those people that would do the long breakup thing. Then once I became fully confident in myself, I was like, oh yeah, I don't do that. Like, the second I find out that you ain't feeling me, like, I'm out. I don't look back. I just know I'm going to find somebody better. So that's what I did. I bounced. Never looked back.
Yeah, you did.
I am out.
They didn't deserve you.
Nah, I don't play with that. Aww, I think,
babe, do you wish you ended up with the smart family?
No. No diss.
The judge and
no,
the lawyers.
No diss. It's a different life, obviously, to where we've progressed right now. It's a different life.
Not one of us graduated college.
And the interesting thing is my friends cared about her, but I don't know if they ever were like cared about us like making it. I don't know if anybody was like, oh man, this was the one that got away. You should have, you know, mm-hmm. at any point in our life.
Well.
And again, that's not saying anything negative about this person, because this person is amazing. She's brilliant. She's an amazing communicator. She's awesome in so many ways, and she'll make somebody an amazing wife, like, for sure. The whole family is awesome.
No, this is just the matchup wasn't right.
Yeah.
That's all.
So, I mean, I've had the situation where I don't approve of a friend's person. And because of the type of person that I am, I will 100% say it, because I don't ever want to be in the position of what you said. I let everybody know exactly what I think on every matter concerning the other person. I just think that's what you should do as a friend.
Yeah.
Should never hold back, especially if they're going to be in your space. I tell them straight up. Mm-hmm. I'll be respectful. I'll be cool.
Yeah.
But
have you ever done that before? Like with the Paige situation, I don't think we were close enough to Byron to know that he was leading a double life.
No,
and
I didn't
awful.
Know anything. I didn't know anything until it happened.
Yeah.
So
we
I was super cool with
enough.
Him, with Bo Beast and the ex-husband. Like, we were all cool with them.
Yeah.
We didn't know nothing until it happened. And then now we don't.
Have you ever told a friend, like, hey, your girl?
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah, 100%. I told Josh with the previous person that he got engaged with. 100%. I was like, nah, bruh. This ain't it.
I didn't know he was engaged before.
Yeah, I recorded it. I recorded the engagement.
Wait, I thought you said no, though.
It was, but I mean, I will tell him straight up, but
you're
I'm
like,
not going to
bail. You're like whispering in the audio, this is not going to end.
Oh, my God. And with Pablo,
good.
Over 6 months.
I told Josh straight up, this ain't it. But he went, luckily, he eventually listened. And then with Pablo, I remember when he called, when he was going to get married, I was like, man.
Bro, you ain't it.
Nah, I was like, bro, you should not be getting married. Like, you shouldn't. And there wasn't no animosity between him. I don't think there's animosity today. I don't have any animosity towards him. But I remember having that conversation before the wedding. I think it was a day or two before the wedding. And I was like, just so you know, I do not think you should be marrying this person. I think you should be by yourself. I do not agree with the wedding. I don't think you should do this at all. I'm saying this profusely. But if you would like me to still show up, I'll show up. But do not expect me to smile, be happy. I'm not going to give you some fake ass congratulations. I'm not going to do anything like that, because you know how I feel. But if you know how I feel and you still want me to show up, I'll show up, because I love you. I'm not trying to curse your marriage. I'm not trying to be like, well, if you get married, it's cursed. I you know, whatever. That's stupid. I love you. I'll support you. I do not think this should be happening. And this was like a day or two before his wedding. And he said, yeah, still show up. And we went, me and
we
went.
Did.
Wow. Awkward as hell, but.
Did you smile?
Nah, bro. I smiled with my friends, with other people. If I smiled.
You didn't walk around looking like upset.
No. I wasn't trying to crap on him. I wasn't, because at the end of the day, if both people make the decision they want to, whatever,
choice.
That's their choice. I'm not going to act like, oh, I
know
more.
I hope the best for you.
Yeah, yeah. So. I was as happy as I could be for him. But
yeah,
I just don't think we should ever hold anything back when you see your friend.
Yeah.
And again, I agree with B. It shouldn't be just a feeling. It shouldn't be like, oh, I just feel blah, 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 blah. Like yeah. I need receipts.
Yeah. Receipts that are exposing some character traits. Mm-hmm. So my boy, he was in two relationships before he got married to who he's with now. And they just celebrated a year actually. And I remember his ex-fiance, there were some things there that were some yellow flags to me that felt like this could get worse. This might be something you need to keep an eye on. And because I love him so much, like I was for sure going to keep 100 with him and tell him, hey, this is what I'm seeing. And if this doesn't change at all, this could progress into something that like crushes this whole thing that mm-hmm. we've built. Mm-hmm. Right. Like to me, like a relationship is so often like building a stained glass window, right? It's beautiful. There's all these like different shades and shapes that come together, and that love and that trust and that devotion is that thing that binds those pieces together. And it doesn't take much to knock that down.
Right.
It could take a little rock from the inside mm-hmm. from some little kid who's goofing around uh-huh. to break that whole thing. And so I remember sharing that with him just because I'm like, hey, we're on the same team. And again, that's like the beautiful thing. That's one of the things playing basketball and now coaching basketball is when you have some people who are on part of the team, so oftentimes, like if you're on defense and the person that you're guarding has the ball, your focus isn't on what's going on around you. Mm-hmm. Your focus has to be on the person in front of you with the ball. And again, there's teammates who are behind you who are noticing there's other movements happening on the court, not just this ball that's in front of you and this person that you're responsible for. And then as a coach, I get to see all of it. Like, I'm like, hey, I've had a little bit more experience playing basketball. There are certain patterns and formations that occur very often in this game. So these are stuff that we have to watch out for. This is how we prepare for it. And then this is how we win against this sort of strategy.
Yeah.
And to me, that's oftentimes how we're supposed to serve like on the same team if we have friends. Is like, hey, your attention is on this person in front of you with the ball. I'm starting to notice some other things that are happening on the court that you should be aware of because this is going to affect this one-on-one dynamic.
Mm.
And so for my boy, I remember sharing that with him and he was aware of it. And I think at that time, he's a little bit idealistic in thinking, hey, my love is going to change mm-hmm. this person.
It's mm-hmm. something that she said and that was yeah, important because a yeah. lot of people think,
dude,
my love will change them.
And especially young people, right? It's like, hey, like even same thing. My sister, she shared on the podcast too. Her big thing was she felt like her love was going to change her fiance.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there's no guarantee of that. And you actually really can't change anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember a relationship after that. This was kind of his bounce back from that broken engagement. He was with a girl and we already both knew. Like I remember having a conversation with him. I remember exactly where I was at. I was walking out of a meeting and I called him. I say, yo, man, I'm going to be really honest with you. She's not it. And here's the reason why. I said, you know what? You're actually really not that into her. Like we're close enough where I can feel like your energy, right? When you're really in love with somebody, like you can hear that in people's voices.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, hey, like there's no fire in you here. Like, in fact, this feels like this is actually more draining for you. And there isn't really any big value that this woman is bringing to your life. And in my opinion, this is a waste of time because you already know.
Mm-hmm.
And so he knew too. At that point, he was open and he was like, yeah, I understand. You see it. And again, sometimes like I think for some people who are in a relationship, it depends. There's two people. There's those people who are extremely headstrong that they're like, I'm going to do this no matter who co-signs this or not.
Yeah, they're just going to learn the hard way.
And yes, and you're running blindly into a mess. And then there's other people who might not necessarily feel confident yet in their ability to make a good decision in that relationship dynamic, and they are waiting for a cosign to tell them, proceed.
Right.
And so, again, I feel like I'm more of the headstrong person that I'm like, I'm going to do this whether y'all like this or not, you know? And luckily, I didn't really run into crazy-ish with that, you know? And so, yeah, so for him, I remember he called that off and he was like, yeah, you're right. He just needed somebody to let him know, hey, what you're seeing and what you're feeling That's right. Legitimate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there, you know, we also need to make sure to let people know, how do you treat that person once they don't listen to your advice? Because I've always seen it nine times out of 10, they do not listen.
Right, right.
I will be spot on. I've been wrong twice that I remember telling somebody, ooh, they ain't the one. And then they ended up being the one.
Yeah, I was wrong. I was wrong once.
So that's why I'm like, I'll tell you what's up. Like, even recently when I was giving Bo Beast advice, I told her what's up. I gave her everything that was on my head. And then I texted her the same day. Hey, I'm sorry for vomiting on you, all that stuff. I could totally be wrong. My bad, you know? If they do not heed your call, what you think they should do, nothing in you should lord it over their head. They should never feel that if things start going crappy in the relationship, that they can't reach back out to you because you're going to like give them all the I told you so. It's like you have to be able to share what you feel in love, make sure that they understand that it is love on why you're communicating, and that if they choose to move forward, you're still going to be there for them.
Right.
Like in an uncompromising way. And then open your mouth when they ask. Once you already tell them, this is how I feel, this is why I think it's whack, after that, don't bring it back up. If you ain't got none good to say, just, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that's happening to you.
Yeah.
They'll know why you're not saying anything. They'll know exactly why.
Also, I would say to still be kind to the person because, like you said, you could be wrong and they end up being the one.
Yeah.
And you could be, you know, seeing things wrong, whatever. So still be kind to the person. Still try to engage. Try to establish a relationship. I mean, that's the whole, like, keep your friends close, your enemies closer, whatever. Like, you shouldn't distance yourself from them. Like, if anything, get closer and really find out, were you right? Or is this person going to prove you wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to pleasantly be proven wrong. Because obviously the outcome that we want for our friends and our family is for them to be happy, you know? And look, their agreeance with you does not mean anything based on, like, it doesn't mean that your relationship isn't awesome or that they don't respect or trust you. Just some people genuinely always need to learn the hard way. They just, for whatever reason, they believe they know what's up. And I know people like that, that I'm like, I'm going to throw out this advice and they are going to say, yeah, I know. Thanks.
Yep.
And they will not do a single thing. And they're going to keep on their cycle and they're going to keep being, well, I don't know why this, yeah, or why is this? And I'm just going to look at them and laugh and be like, you don't want to know. You are hypothetically feeling like, oh, everything's not going your way, but it's because you keep making the same decisions. So do not take it personal if they don't heed your advice. It does not mean that you don't have good advice, or it doesn't mean that they don't like or respect or love you. It just means that for this moment in time in their life, they are in the I got to learn the hard way season. And some people never get out of that season. Some people just stay there. Because they will forever go down thinking they know more.
Yeah.
And they don't need nobody's advice. And those people, you just kindly do not exert effort. Be there for them, but don't put any emotion of like, man, why aren't they listening to me? Oh, man, why didn't they do what I done? Oh, man, that's messed up. Don't feel any of those things. If they can't love themselves effectively, what makes you think they got enough to extend to you?
Yeah. It's funny because as you were saying that, I had the visual of the story of the prodigal son. And, you know, when you think about that, like, here is this one boy who is like antsy to go on with his life and live all these adventures and experiences and stuff. And he gets his inheritance early, right? Mm-hmm. That's mad disrespectful to begin with. Like, yo, pops, it'd be better if you were dead right now so I could collect that money.
Right.
And the father gives it to him. Like, to me, that's like a perfect picture of love. That's like, hey, even I'm going to give you space to go and explore, even if I know it's going to bring you harm.
Right.
I'm not going to lord it over you. I'm not going to try and control you. Here's the money. And just know, like, there's always a space for you here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's this picture of like leaving the light on, like leaving that heart open and not closing off. Right. And it's interesting because as he goes on his adventures, he realizes, oh, I actually had it better back there. Mm-hmm. And it's not to say like your friend, your family or whatever is the prodigal son. Like, I'm not trying to label that. I'm just trying to say from the principle of it, it's like, even if we can see something that's going to lead to their demise, love still says, hey, you have the space. Just know I'm always here for you. Right. I love you. I'll keep the light on open for you, you know? And so, yeah, to me, that's like, that's true. Keeping your heart open, because you could be wrong too.
Yeah.
And it's cool because like one of the areas that I was wrong, I mean, they're some of our best friends now.
Right.
And so it's funny because the first time that they broke up, I told him, I said, yeah, I think you could do better. And here's the reasons why. 3 months later, they're back together again. Ooh. And then they end up getting engaged, end up getting married. I'm the best man in the wedding. And I was like, hey, like at the end of the day, those things that I said were absolutely valid.
Yeah.
And it was up to him of like, hey, are you willing to walk through this growth with her?
Because that's what you're signing up for. Yeah. We're just letting you know, hey, this is what you're going to have to deal with. Are you willing to work through it and not act surprised when this dragon shows up in your mind? Because it will show up.
Yep.
If y'all are willing to do the work, cool. Yeah. That's just two grown people saying, I see your faults, you see mine.
Yeah.
And we're going to choose each other anyways, even though whatever. And whatever happens, happens. I actually respect that. I will not respect it if you see the dragon, if you see the red flag, you jump in thinking that you could change them. Everyone tells you don't do it. And then you play the victim. That I have little, grace or empathy for. I don't. Because I'm like, if everyone told you don't and you still did, I'm going to hug you. I'm going to hug you, but there ain't going to be an, man, he's so whack. Oh, I can't believe him. It's like, oh, okay, he did what he did prior to you getting married. So he just stayed the same person, the person that you knew and I knew. Okay, cool. You just gambled and you lost. But
I'm sorry you made this decision.
Let's just move on. Yeah, because there ain't going to be like, oh, man, I can't believe it. No, of course I can believe it. We saw this shit before you even got married. You just chose to try to change this person. And you can't change people, man. That's one of the biggest qualities that I respected. Even though you're stubborn, you don't mind changing, and even though it takes a minute. And I knew that when we got in our first argument about the money for the wedding. It took you 3 days to come around, but you came around and you changed it. And I was like, oh, okay, she won't go down with the ship and lose me for some dumb stuff. And that's when I knew.
That's when I knew.
Yo, man, write us in, man, if you got any stories about this. Maybe we'll do a part two and have you guys on again. We were supposed to have Bobis on, but she was in a meeting, so she didn't text yet. But we're so grateful for the people that did call. And we truly appreciate you guys, man. Hey, if you guys want to know how you can support us, click follow, share on all the platforms, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, all the good stuff. And if you really want to get invested, join our Patreon. It's patreon.com/NATRT. You'll see it on the screen as well as in the description. And you guys can join for as little as $2 a day. If we are feeding your soul.
A month, you mean?
$2 a month. My bad. $2 a month all the way up. There's a bunch of tiers. You get extra content.
You can do $2 a day too if you want.
Whatever you're feeling. It's an amazing thing. If you guys feel like you're getting fed in any way, shape, or form, like if this is helping you in any way, shape, or form, and you want to find out how to help, just join up on the Patreon and we would appreciate it. We love you guys and we like to say, we pray you find a seat at the table, but if you don't, you are always welcome at ours. Cheers.